Luke chapter 8, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8. I've been all over the place this morning where to preach. I was in Luke, I was in Psalms, I was in Job, I was in Haggai. I even thought about preaching from the book of Hezekiah, but I couldn't find it in the Bible. So I started to stick with one of the books that's in there. And here I am back at Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8. Some of you looking for it. Jared, it's not in there, all right? That's kind of the name, but not the book, all right? These Bible college students, they don't know nothing. You understand? But here I am in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8. I believe that's where God would have us for a few moments this morning. Now, it came to pass on a certain day, verse number 22, that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over into the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Our Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me as I preach the word of God. Bless now the preaching. I pray that you bless churches all over the world today as we meet. But God, we've come here at this building, at this place in our lives, because we don't just need a sermon from a briefcase. We need a word from the Lord.
Amen.
Give it to us with fresh oil today. Bless our church back home today. Watch over Kevin this morning up the road too. And bless us now. If somebody in the building doesn't know Jesus, might today be the day that one comes to a saving knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I was in the park yesterday at Dollywood, and suffice it to say, I wasn't the only one there. We've been there in Pigeon Forge. It's a tourist town. Everywhere we turn, there are people. If you can't find something to do in Pigeon Forge, there's something wrong with you. There's just go-kart raceways and putt-putt golf courses and shopping and all kinds of dinner places to eat and dinner shows. Just so much to do. People from all over the place. I'd venture to say if I went down to Pigeon Forge today and just spent about an hour posing the question to strangers along the road, what is a Christian? I guarantee I'd get a number of different answers. Some would say a Christian is a good person. Some would say a Christian is a churchgoer. Some would say a Christian is someone who's been baptized. A Christian is someone from a Christian home. A Christian is someone whose good outweighs their bad. A Christian is someone who gives to the poor. A Christian is a moral person. A Christian is a religious person. A Christian is a Bible believer. A Christian is someone who simply has good intentions. All of those are popular answers, but none of them are right. They're what people say, they're what people think, but they don't come from the Bible. See, the truth of the matter is, a Christian is someone who's been born again. Not a corruptible seed, but of thy word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. A Christian is someone who's been washed in the blood. A Christian is someone whose sins have been forgiven. A Christian is someone who's been saved by grace, not by faith, not by works, but of faith and grace through it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A Christian is someone who's been justified, who's been sanctified. A Christian is someone who has God as his Father, Jesus as his Savior, the Holy Ghost as his Comforter, the Word of God as his God. A Christian is someone whose name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. A Christian is someone who is a citizen of heaven. A Christian is someone who's been snatched out of hell, who's been adopted into the family of God. A Christian is someone the devil can't have back. Sin can't steal. A Christian is someone that nothing you do can ever separate you from the love of God. A Christian is someone who's saved. A Christian is someone who's a believer. A Christian is someone who's a brother or a sister in Christ. A Christian is someone who knows that he knows that he's on his way to heaven and nothing can change that, my friend. That's a Christian, but just the beginning. See, being saved is just the beginning of being a Christian. See, after you get saved, you meet Christ. Aren't you glad you met Christ? Do you remember the day that you met Christ? Do you remember the place when you met Christ? You might not remember the date. You might not remember the time. But I guarantee you remember the place. And you remember what happened. You remember when somebody told you about a man named Jesus. Different than the Pope. Different than a priest. Different than some religious person. Not a president. Not a politician. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Introduced to a man who was tempted at all points, yet without sin. Who walked on earth for 33 and a half years. Who died. Who was buried. And raised again. That man named Jesus. There's nobody like him. Amen. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not the Pope, not a cow that used to be your grandma. Huh? Come on now. I'm talking about the lovely Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Remember that day you met Christ? But ever since you met Christ, the Christian life is a life of walking with him and talking with him and dwelling with him and abiding with him. It doesn't stop the day you get saved. It just starts the day you get saved. And life will take you all different kinds of directions. We've learned that these last 17 months, have we? In this pandemic, it's unprecedented. Something like we've never seen before. But I'm here to tell you, real Christianity will press through even unprecedented times. Listen to me. You can have all the money in the world, all the fame in the world, all the fortune in the world, all the friends in the world, all the things in the world, all the toys in the world. Listen to me. What profit does it to man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? But when you know Jesus, somebody say amen. When you know Jesus, he changes everything. And the truth of the matter is, we got a lot of people that's saved. We got very few real Christians who will stick with Jesus every single step of the way. I love what the song said a few moments ago. We know that he sticks with us, right? On the mountaintop, there is Jesus. In the valley, there is Jesus. When things are going well, there is Jesus. When things are going bad, there is Jesus. And I want to challenge Faith Baptist Tabernacle this morning in the month of August 2021, when we're dealing with the pandemic, and sometimes it's rising and sometimes it's falling, but not just pandemics, but trials and tribulations and difficulties and good times and bad times. And some of you may think, if I just had this much money, if I just got this better news from the doctor, if I just had this better news from politics, if we could just have better weather, if I could just move to a better house, if I could just have a nicer car, if I could just have better friends, things would be better. Let me tell you something, you're never going to live in a Christian life or in a life where things are perfect. But I'll tell you what you can have. You can have somebody named Jesus that you can stick with and stay with and be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I want to talk to some real Christians. I pray that in Jamestown, Tennessee, you know, I was leaving the hotel this morning. And we've become familiar with the people there and where we stay. And we've seen these guys every single year. Sometimes they pull up the car and he said, where are you going this morning? And I said, Jamestown. I said, are you from Tennessee? Been here all my life. He said, where are you going again? Jamestown. He said, I never heard of Jamestown. I said, well, I guess I won't be in a thriving metropolis, right? But I'm here to tell you, we don't need skyscrapers. And we don't need somebody to put you on the map here in Jamestown politically or socially. Let me tell you something. What's in Jamestown? A local New Testament church that God has built, a congregation of believers that have been saved and baptized, that are assembling together in Jesus' name. I tell you what's happening. Men, women, and boys and girls are gathering in this building today. A building has been erected. And I look at the beautiful decor that's been in here and what's happening in the church and the church growth and the people that are joining and the young couples that, I'll tell you something, real Christianity is still on the move. I'm asking you, are you in on it this morning? Do you just want to be average, run of the mill? You just want to fit in? You just want to be somebody else that's a statistic that'll end up in heaven, that somehow by the grace of God was passed from death into life, but never earning any crowns, never doing anything for the Lord? Or do you want to be a real Christian that will stand the test of time, that will persevere through difficult times? Somebody's facing something this morning and somebody's going to face something tomorrow. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is looking for more than just average people, more than just familiarity, more than just run of the mill. May God assemble in Jamestown, Tennessee in August of 2021, some real Christians right here at Faith Baptist Tabernacle. Let me give you several aspects of real Christianity that Luke's going to give us here in this passage to really summarize the entire Christian life. We'll ask the question this morning, are you a real Christian? Number one, the Savior's call. Look at verse 22. It came to pass on a certain day, he, speaking of Jesus, went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. He'd been telling parables all day long. Nobody could tell a parable like Jesus. What was a parable? A heavenly story, right? But he broke it down, and really an earthly story that he gave a heavenly meaning to. And nobody could bring heaven down to earth because nobody was on earth that had been to heaven. And so he brought stories to life. And they were sitting by the seashore all day long listening to him and must have been saying, wow, nobody tells a story. Jesus tells a story better than Mr. Rogers will. Somebody say amen. And here he is telling a story. And they're eating it up because he was opening their minds to heavenly truths that they'd never heard before. And they're sitting there all day long, multitudes listening to him. And then he gets into a boat and he says this statement, let us go over to the other side of the lake. To many, it may have just seemed like one simple statement, maybe just an invitation for an outing. But no, a simple statement that comes from Jesus is never a simple statement. It's a big statement. He was extending a call. Let us go over to the other side of the lake. Listen, now the call came from the master. The call came to the minority, and the call was for movement. Let me repeat that. It came from the master, not from their mamas, not from their friends, not from their daddies, not from their bosses, but from the master. It came to the minority. Multitudes were listening, but to the 12, he addressed this statement, and it came for movement. Let's go somewhere. I tell you something about the Christian life. It always involves the Savior's call. Listen to me. Have you heard his voice lately? Have you heard his voice? Not the pastor's voice, not your spouse's voice, not your child's voice, not your parents' voice, not your boss's voice, not the politician's voice, but the voice of the Savior. That same voice that called you to himself, that same voice that saved you and redeemed you, that voice from the master to the minority. You know what he's saying? You've got to break away from the crowd. See, 12, you've got to leave the multitudes and you've got to do something that not everybody else will do. See, not everybody on your job is going to follow the master's call. Not everybody in your family is going to follow the master's call. Not everybody on your social media is going to follow the master's call. But is there a minority today that'll say, when nobody else will, I will. When nobody else says, I'll say. When nobody else does, I'll do. When nobody else acts, I'll act from the master to the minority, but for movement. Let's go over. I want to tell you something. If you're going to be a real Christian and you're going to stick with Jesus, you're going to be going somewhere. Amen. I said you're going to be going somewhere. Is your prayer life going anywhere? Is your Bible reading going anywhere? Is your Bible memory going anywhere? Is your marriage going anywhere? Are your friendships going anywhere? Is your testimony going somewhere? Oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm stagnant. I'm stale. I'm stuck. I'm stifled. Well, I tell you something, you're not hanging with Jesus because he's always going somewhere. It's the Savior's call. Maybe your Christianity seems like it's lifeless. It's lethargic. It's melancholy. It's become so asinine. My friend, get back with Jesus. Get back. You can be in church and not be sticking with Jesus. You can carry a Bible and not be sticking with Jesus. You can be in a godly home, but not be sticking with Jesus. You got to get with him and know that when you're with him, you'll hear the Savior's call. Notice, secondly, real Christians not only experience the Savior's call, but the servant's commitment. Notice verse number 22 ends with this statement. And they launched forth. It's pretty simple. He said, let's go, and they went. You know, if it were that simple, wouldn't we all be doing it? We hear it. We come to church and we hear the call. We open the Bible, we hear the call. The Holy Spirit speaks inside of us and we hear the call. How rarely we launch for. What has he called you to that you're not doing? What has he called you to that you're hesitating about doing? What has he called you to that you're putting off doing? The Bible says, and they launch forth. Oh, real Christians are people that come to church. Oh, real Christians are people that memorize scripture. Oh, real Christians are people that tithe 52 weeks out of the year. No, 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 no. Real Christians are people that hear the call and they obey. Amen. I want you to notice a couple things about the call. There were no details given. So how long are we going to ride, Jesus? I ain't telling you. So what you going to serve while we're on the boat? I ain't telling you. So what's the forecast for the boat ride? I ain't telling you. So how many cushions you got on the seats? I'm not telling you. See, if there's anything that you need besides the voice of Christ to obey, you won't last. That's good. That's good. See, some people come to church and leave church because they came for the wrong reason. Right, yeah. I came, but somebody looked at me the wrong way. Don't you won't be here long. Especially with masks on, you don't know what people think about you. Boy, your eyes really tell, don't they? My eyes really tell. Boy, if looks could kill, we'd be snipers. Let me tell you something. You can't, listen, don't come to church because the way people look at you. Don't leave because the way people look at you. Come to church because you hear the voice of God when you come. Read your Bible because you hear the voice of God. You only read your Bible because it's entertaining. You'll quit at Leviticus. And you'll stay quit when you get to Numbers. Come on now. Oh, you'll enjoy Joshua marching around Jericho, won't you? You'll even enjoy Judges when that fat man swallows up a sword. But you'll get to Ezekiel and you'll get to some of those passages in Isaiah and you'll go, I don't read the Bible. Don't read the Bible because it's entertaining. Read the Bible because it's the voice of God. And they launch forth. No details given. No delays in going. No decision but to go. And they launch forth. What is God calling you to do? Well, I'll do it when I make more money. I'll do it when things settle down. I'll do it when I get married. I'll do it once we get out of the pandemic. I'll do it when things get better. I'll do it when I get to the next church. I'll do it when I do a better job. How about do it because the one who loved you and saved you and redeemed you and made you and formed you and shaped you said, let's get on the boat. What do I need to know before I get on the boat? One thing. Jesus on there, I'm on there. Amen. They launch forth. Number three, the Savior's call, the servant's commitment. Number three, the stormy crisis. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. Well, that's a setup. You ever been invited to something and the person that invited you, you couldn't find them? I tell our people all the time, don't invite somebody to church and they come to church, can't find you. And sometimes they invite you to something and they're not there because they know what they invited you to is not going to be good. Can you imagine them on that boat? Yes, Jesus, we're riding with you. We're going with you. You invited us. You're the host. And all of a sudden, the storm comes and they go, where is he? Nowhere to be found. In the bottom of the ship, as we put it, knocked out. You ever felt like he's asleep? You ever felt like the toughest time in your life, you can't find him? Job said, I looked on my left, I looked on my right, I couldn't find him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Even where he normally works, I couldn't find him. He fell asleep. By the way, he was asleep, but he wasn't gone. He was asleep, but he wasn't unaware. The storm came. The storm came. What do you mean the storm? The storm struck the obedient ones. It didn't strike the ones who didn't ride. It struck the ones who did ride. Yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. Isn't it amazing? It seems like sometimes people that do wrong have it easy. People that do right have it hard. You get that diagnosis and you say, why me? I'm serving God. I'm faithful. I'm reading my Bible. I'm raising my family right. Why couldn't that diagnosis come to someone who hates God, who doesn't do right, who doesn't honor God, who doesn't read their Bible? Why did the trial come to me? Let me tell you something. You walk with Jesus. It won't always be good the way you think it, but it'll always be good because he's with you. It struck the obedient ones. It was seen by others. I'm thinking right about that time, everybody that was on the shore that didn't ride is looking. Look at them now. I'm glad I ain't get on that boat. You ever thought about flying one day and you didn't fly that day and it stormed that day? You said, I knew I shouldn't have flown that day. I wonder how many people were going, all Peter's been talking about is Jesus this, Jesus that. All James and John can talk about is Jesus this. And all Nathaniel can brag about is Jesus this and Jesus that. I wonder what they're saying now on that little boat in that storm. Somebody's watching you go through your storm. Your coworkers are watching you. Your lost family members are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you go through that storm. They want to find out whether you serve Jesus for smooth sailing or you serve Jesus for Jesus. It struck the obedient ones. It was seen by others. It was seemingly overwhelming. Look at verse 23. They were in jeopardy. This was no pitter-patter. This was no little small, trivial storm. This was a storm that felt like it was over, like they were going down. Somebody in the building this day is going through the biggest storm of your life. I know that I have for the last 17 months. Bigger than anything I've ever faced. I'm not just talking about some little trial that just goes away. I'm talking about 17 months after it, still feeling things and still not knowing what's going to happen and still not not knowing when the lungs will get when they need to get. And sometimes you think, God, where did this storm come from? I'm telling you, don't jump the boat in the middle of the storm. Don't question your decision. Don't think you made the wrong choice. Don't say, I shouldn't have been surrendered. I shouldn't have given. If I hadn't tithed, I wouldn't have these financial struggles. If I wasn't faithful to church, I wouldn't have these struggles. If I didn't do right, I wouldn't. Let me tell you something. You never go wrong doing right. Listen to me. You never made a mistake following Jesus. Let them laugh at you. Let them talk about you. Let the devil taunt you. Let your flesh try to condemn you and tease you. But I'm telling you, God's way is perfect. He never makes a mistake. You got on the right boat. You made the right choice. You're riding with the right person. You're reading the right Bible. You're in the right church. Don't doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. Amen. Stick with Jesus. Amen. Number four. The Savior's call. The servant's commitment. The stormy crisis. Number four. The supernatural comfort. I didn't used to like water. I got sick. I love it now. You know what I used to have in the pulpit? Chick-fil-A lemonade. That's not a lie. And sweet tea and lemonade mix. Glory to God. My son was somewhere recently and he asked for half and half and he started tasting it. He said, this is not sweet at all. Sometimes you say half and half, they think you mean half sweet tea and half unsweetened tea. Who in the world want to do something crazy like that? Some of you are going, if you have diabetes, you'll have no choice. Ain't it going to be good to be in heaven and never have to worry about half and half nothing? Amen. But now I'm drinking water, and thank God for water. Praise the Lord for that. Now notice, they were on the boat. It's rocking. The waves are rumbling. The lightning's flashing. The thunder's roaring. Jesus is asleep. And I want you to listen to the ones he invited on this boat. We perish. They're looking at each other. Somebody hand me a sheet of paper. Let me write my will. Now we're laughing at them, but isn't that us? Oh, gee, we come to church. Oh, sing, Jared. Sing. What's up? What's up? Rebecca. Sing, Becky. Don't you hate when people call you Becky? Sing, Rebecca. Rebecca's so much more biblical. Sing, Rebecca, sing. And then Monday, the storm comes. We perish. That's us. We're all in it for Jesus when we're on the Mount of Transfiguration. But we're in that boat in the middle of nowhere, and it's rocking, and we're going, no. We ain't trying to stay here for a while. We're wondering why we ever came here. They forgot something. Some wise theologian says,
shame on those faithless disciples. The nerve of them to wake Jesus up.
Well, you go ahead and be spiritual. I'm waking him up.
I wouldn't have wakened Jesus. I would have just trusted in the faith of our fathers and just rode on.
Would you go ahead with your bad self? I'm waking him up. There's nothing wrong with waking him up. The problem is what you say when you do. We perish. I want to tell you what they forgot when they said we perish. Number one, his direct presence. If you're calling his name, he must be there. Amen. Come on now. Somebody here is going through cancer. Somebody here is going through a trial. Somebody here is going through a rebellious child. Somebody here is going through a financial trial. Somebody here is going through the unknown of the future. Somebody here is going through a family situation. Somebody here is going through an unknown situation, but God has revealed it to you right here in your heart. And you're going, I've never been here. The waves are rocking. The thunder's roaring. Somebody here is getting ready to get married in a month. You don't know what you're about to get into. And you go, you're like, I want to marry her, but I need somebody to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? And listen to me. And then you think about ministry. And you think about, he talks all the time about pastoring. He says, man, I think he texted me this morning and said, I'm in over my head. The truth of the matter is, every single one of us that's a Christian, we're in over our head unless he's on the boat. Jesus is on the boat. Don't forget he's there. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. The next time the boat gets rocking, remember who your riding partner is. The next time the trial comes, remember who your riding partner is. He is with you. I am that I am. You forget his direct presence. How about this? They forgot his declared promise. He said, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Here's my question. How the boat gonna sink in the middle when Jesus said destination is the other side? Listen to me now. It can't go down. Have you read your Bible? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work, good work in you. I like it when you laugh. It helps me preach. He which hath begun a good work in me shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. God is not a liar. Somebody say amen. Amen. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Listen to me. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other the creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. If God be for us, who can be against us? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. People lie. The flesh lies. The devil's the father of lies. But God keeps his promises. Don't forget that. His direct presence, his declared promise. How about this? His divine power. He arose. Come on now. He arose. Aren't you glad 3 days after he was in the grave, he arose? But aren't you glad even when it seems like he's not there in the midst of your problems, that he knows how to rise? He rose. And what did he do? Rebuked the wind and the water. I'd like to watch that. I don't know what he would have said. We're down in the South. Maybe he said this. Hush. I mean, rebuke the wind. I mean, you think the water was rocking? Maybe he said, sit down. In other passages, we know what he said. What did he say? Peace be still. Hey, I'm not so hung up on what he said. I'm hung up on what they did after he said it. And I'm not talking about the disciples. I'm talking about the wind and the water. Have you ever told wind what to do and it obeyed you? Don't you wish you could tell wind what to do? Don't you wish you could tell water what to do? I planned something for my wife recently, and it was outside. And your dear pastor and his wife were there with us. And all of you that sent well wishes, thank you to all of you. But I was checking the weather 5 times a day. It can't rain. It can't rain. I wish I could have just said, look here, I'm having something for my wife on Friday night. You better not come down here. I couldn't do it, but he can. And let me tell you something. If he can tell wind and water to hush and sit down, don't you think he can tell your trial to calm down? Don't you think he can tell the devil to leave you alone? Don't you think he can tell your burden to be lifted? Don't you think he can tell your valley to be exalted? Don't you think he can tell your mountain to be moved? Let me tell you something. You've got to rest. Don't rest in what's happening. Rest in who can make it happen. Listen to me. His divine power. I want you to notice his authority over creation. And notice the amazement of his children. They said, what manner of man is this? They wondered. He commanded the wind and the water and they obeyed. You know what real Christianity is? It's living ever fascinated and in awe of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. If you never ride with him through the storm, how are you going to see him calm it? If you never go through a trial, how are you going to see him solve it? If you never get sick, how are you going to experience healing? If you never get broke, how are you going to notice his provision? If you never go through a tough time, how are you going to see him make a way out of no way? Let me tell you something. I've learned something the last 17 months. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Most gladly will I glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Yes, the storms are coming, but aren't you glad that in the stormy crisis, you have a supernatural comfort? Jesus is on the boat. Amen. Let me close with this. There's a subsequent conclusion. A subsequent conclusion. They made it to the other side. If you agree with that, would you say amen? But the adventure's not over. You see, on the boat, they saw his power over the deep. But on the other side, everybody say more power. More power. Say it again, more power.
More power.
More power. They get off the boat, probably like this. It's like the way you get off drop tower, drop zone, unless you're my daughter Chloe. She got off yesterday like, that was boring. I don't have her nerve. Most of you get off like this. It's a look of amazement. What just happened? You think that's how those 12 disciples got off that boat? What just happened? That storm was about to kill us, and he calmed it with a few words. They couldn't even get their heads wrapped around what just happened on the boat. And before they could get off the boat good, out of the cemetery comes a crazy man. The Bible version of a Tasmanian devil. You say, don't call him crazy. That's a little condescending. He was naked, sleeping in the cemeteries, and foaming at the mouth, chained up and got loose. I don't care. You can call it condescending if you want to. That's a crazy man. Anybody running around naked is crazy. Anybody sleeping in the cemeteries? Crazy. I've stayed in a few prophets' chambers that were next to cemeteries, and that was enough for me. Inside the room was a picture of Dr. Bobby Robertson, and I promise you, everywhere I went in the room, his eyes followed me. I said, don't put me up here anymore. I love Brother Bobby, but I don't want to love him like that, all right? Here comes the Tasmanian devil. Nobody can do anything with him, but Jesus showed up. Next time they see him, he's running around. No, no, no. He's seated. He's naked. No, no, no. He's clothed. He's crazy. No, no, no. He's in his right mind. The disciples are going, we're still trying to figure out what happened on the boat. Now Jesus just calmed this crazy man. Oh, my. On the boat, they saw his power over the deep. On the other side, they saw his power over demons. But wait a minute. It doesn't stop there. Here comes a woman with an issue of blood. 12 years. 12 years ago, she went to the doctor. He tries to help her. She's been to other doctors. She's spent all the money. She's tried all her medicine. She's getting worse. She doesn't even shake his hand. She touches the hem of his garment. Straightway, the fountain of her body is dried up. She's walking, healed of that plague. The disciples are going, we're still trying to figure out this boat thing and this Tasmanian devil thing. What in the world? Power over the deep, power over demons. What in the world? Power over diseases. Somebody help me preach. But it's not done yet. Jairus has a 12-year-old daughter. Now she's dead. And Jesus is going to walk with him. Aren't you glad he walks with us to the house? They're moaning and wailing because she's dead. Jesus says, everybody out. Talitha kumai, I say unto thee, damsel, arise. And she gets up. Can you see Peter's mouth right now? I wonder if Peter's saying, somebody give me a drink. What kind of man is this? Power over the deep. What kind of man is this? Power over demons. What kind of man is this? Power over diseases. What kind of man is this? Power over death. And you know what? If we had 10 years, we could fill in every other blank, because there's nothing over which he doesn't have power. Here's what I want you to get. They see none of it if they don't get on the boat. And every once in a while, the critics and the naysayers will say, you're too far in. You're too committed. You raise your family in church 3 times a week. You keep taking your money up to that church every week. You're gonna keep believing that old-fashioned Bible. You're going to praise God in your trial. You're going to keep following that Savior after you lost a loved one. You say, it's all I know. I didn't sign up for what I could get. I signed up for who I could hang with. And I wonder about all those people that went, nah, he's going to have to give me a more detailed pamphlet if I'm riding that boat. They missed out. You ever try to talk about God to people and they look at you like you're crazy? I'll tell you why. They've never ridden with him. Some of you on a ride right now. And if you had your way, it wouldn't be raining. It wouldn't be storming. And it certainly wouldn't feel like Jesus is asleep. But I'm here to tell you, there's a destination on the other side. And you thought the boat ride was good? Wait till you get to the dock. There's so much more God's going to show us after we get out of this pandemic. We're going to line up at the next boat ride and say, I'm ready to go again. That's the difference between saved people and real Christians. Now, I don't know where you are today. The Savior's call, the servant's commitment, the stormy crisis, the supernatural comfort, or the subsequent conclusion. But if you're a real Christian, you're in one of those spots or all of them together. And regardless of where you are, you're going to make it. Has been and will always be sticking with Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads today. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. Can I ask you a question? And I really believe this is what God had for us today. How many say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. Bible way. There's only one way. Would you raise your hand all over the building? I know that I'm saved. I know if I died today that I'd go to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. Put your hands down. Now, put your hands down. God bless you. Now, I've never believed in twisting people's arms and talking people into invitation and trying to make people. Listen, if the Holy Spirit won't get you, me getting you won't work anyway. But how many would say, preacher, somewhere in the message today about real Christianity, I found me. I found me. And God spoke to me. If that's you, wherever you are, would you raise your hand? Come on, all over the building. God spoke to me in the message today. God spoke to me. God bless your hands all over the room. Put your hands down. Last question. How many of you would say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm 100% sure I do not want to go to hell. I don't know for sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I know for sure I do not want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Anybody like that? Just slip it up. I won't call your name. I don't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Thank you, sir. God bless you. God brought me all the way to Tennessee today for you. Someone else? Would just slip it up long enough for me to see it? Anybody? I want to talk to that gentleman just raised your hand. I hope every head bow be eyes closed except for that one man. Just you and me right now. I don't know you, but I love you. And I know a God that loves you enough to send his only son to die for your sins. We're all born sinners. Adam sinned and the curse of sin passed on all mankind. That's why nobody had to teach you and me how to do wrong. It's in us. It's hard to do right, isn't it? Jesus came to take away that sin and to give you a new nature. When he died on the cross, he shed his blood. His blood was the payment that God requires for sin. He was the only man that had perfect blood. You and I don't have perfect blood. He died and rose again, conquering death. And in Christ alone, as our brother is playing right now, you can find hope and salvation. If you believe he died, was buried, and rose again, and you're willing to put your faith and trust completely in him, right in your seat where you are right now, he'll save you. You believe that? Would you be willing to pray right where you are? I'll help you. Just repeat this right after me. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'm separated from you. But I believe you sent Jesus to die for me, that he was buried and rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. I completely trust you to go to heaven. Give me a new life in you so that I can begin learning how to be a real Christian. In Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. Let's open our eyes and stand together. I don't know what the process is for invitation. Maybe if God spoke to your heart, why don't you bow your head right where you are and pray right where you are? We'll just have an invitation right in our seats today, if that's okay with the pastor. You know, sometimes we get so used to routine that we lose reality. Is he calling you to something right now? I know there's some things he's calling me to, and they're all moving somewhere. He never wants me standing still and plateauing, settling. Well, you have to leave the minority. Well, I'll go if my buddy goes. I'll go if my wife goes. I'll go if my husband goes. How about go because Jesus said go? Well, what about the storms? He specializes in storms. Couldn't we all just list a storm today? Couldn't we? You know, one person said you're in one, headed for one, or just coming out of one. It's on the radar. But this too shall pass. You know, I've learned about Jesus. Even if it doesn't pass, he'll give us the grace to last. Why? Because there's something to see on the other side. Lord, touch every life and make much of my meager message. I pray it's been what you have for your people. I know it's what you have for me. Keep helping us. In Jesus' name, for his sake.